Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we're gathered here to get our eyes off the news, off the world, off Washington, D.C., and get them on Jesus. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each one that's here. May we feel your presence and your power and your peace. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to be singing a song. It's a song that you're probably familiar with. But what you may not know is that back in 1904, W. Stillman Martin was a Baptist evangelist. One Sunday morning, he was scheduled to speak at a church some distance from home. And his wife became ill that morning, was very ill, couldn't even get out of bed. He was thinking about canceling the service, staying home, taking care of her. And while he was discussing this with his wife, his son, his young son, said, "Dad, don't you think that if God wants you to preach today, he'll take care of Mom while you're gone?" Well, Reverend Stillman went to preach that morning, had a very good service. Several people responded to the gospel message. He got back home as quick as he could. When he got home, he found his wife was doing much better. In fact, when he walked in the house, she was sitting at the table writing. She was writing the words to this song, inspired by what her son had said. That night, Reverend Martin wrote the music to the song. So in one day, a new song was born. And it's got a gospel message for you and me today. Be not dismayed, whate'er may betide, God will take care of you. Let's stand together as we sing. Dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers pierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
What may be the test? God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Number 881 in your hymnal, and also here on the screen, is the Apostles' Creed. Shall we unite our hearts together in this historic confession of our Christian faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Right. Absolutely. Yes. Do remember all of those who are still suffering from COVID, those who have it, those who have loved ones who have it. Remember all of the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the hospital staff. In that same vein, remember our students as they go back to school this fall. Remember the students. Remember the administrators. Remember the school staff. Remember the parents. So many needs in so many places. It's a great thing that we know the great physician, isn't it? Do remember them. And special unspoken request. How many by the uplifted hand would indicate unspoken request? Yes. Our prayer course this morning is number 393 in your hymnal. I invite you to join with the choir as we sing.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we do need a fresh touch. Lord, it doesn't matter if it was last year or 50 years ago or longer that we first met you. Remind us that every day with Jesus should indeed be sweeter than the day before. We pray today that you'd be with each one of your children. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with these gathered here at Rockwood United Methodist Church. It would be easy, Lord, to look back and say, well, back in the 50s or 60s. But we're not called to look back. We're called first of all to look around and to remember each one who is here, to pray for them that God would indeed touch their hearts, we give them his strength and his peace, and then to pray for those who aren't able to be here today, Lord. We just pray that you would remember all of our church family, past, present, and future. And then, Lord, help us that we might indeed look to the future. We don't know what the future holds, but Lord, we do know that you are in charge. We pray today that you would remind us that this is not our church, this is your church. And you personally promised that even the gates of hell could not prevail against your church. And Lord, that includes pandemics, that includes politics, that includes anything else that might come up against your church. You promised that we, your children, would be victorious through it all. Help us, Lord, that we might dare to trust you more. Help us to remember that God will take care of each one of us. Use us, Lord, to your honor and glory. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me remind you again that the offering receptacles are at the back door and the side door over here. As the choir shares with us in the offertory, if you might have forgotten to put yours in, this would be a good time to do it so you don't have to think of it when you're going out. But we appreciate your faithfulness and your giving down through the years. Thank you. We have two scripture readings this morning. The first one I'm going to share from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is paraphrased. Today's message is how to age gracefully. Remember last week we talked about amazing grace? Well, this week we're going to talk about how that relates to the fact that some of us, not all of us, but some of us are getting older. Let me read to you from Ecclesiastes 12. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim in your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs start to tremble and before your shoulders stoop. Remember Him before your teeth stop grinding and before your eyes see dimly. Remember Him before the door of life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then their sounds grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white, if you're lucky, and you drag along without energy, without youthful desires. Remember Him before you're near the grave, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. And now the reading from Psalm chapter 62.
Salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They are friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in His sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to You. Unfailing love, O Lord, is Yours. Surely You judge all people according to what they have done. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Someone said, I've had two bypasses, hip surgery, new knees, fought prostate cancer, and diabetes. I'm almost blind. I can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. I take 40 different medications that make me dizzy, winded, and subject to blackouts. I have bouts with dementia, have poor circulation, hardly feel my hands and feet anymore, can't remember if I'm 85 or 92. I've said goodbye to all of my friends, but I'm thankful that I still have my Florida driver's license. Senior citizens, in case you haven't noticed or in case you're not there yet, Senior citizens are being criticized every day for every conceivable deficiency of the modern world, be it real or imaginary. Somebody said, however, we would like to point out that it was not senior citizens that took the melody out of music, the pride out of appearance, the courtesy out of driving, the romance out of love, the commitment out of marriage, responsibility out of parenthood, togetherness out of the family, the learning out of education, the service out of patriotism, the golden rule from rulers, the nativity scene out of the cities, the civility out of behavior, the refinement out of language. We didn't take the dedication out of employment, or the prudence out of spending, or the ambition out of achievement. We did not take God out of government and school. We certainly are not the ones who eliminated patience and tolerance from personal relationships and interactions with others. We do understand the meaning of patriotism and remember those who have fought and died for our country. Does anyone under 30 know the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner? Just look at the seniors with tears in their eyes and pride in their hearts as they stand at attention on Veterans Day or on our country's birthday. A woman was checking out of the grocery store one day, and as she finally got up to the checkout, there was a young cashier there who made a suggestion to the much older customer that she should bring her own grocery bags because plastic bags are not good for the environment. The woman apologized to the young girl and explained, "We didn't have this green thing back in my earlier days." The young woman responded, "That's our problem today. Your generation did not care enough to save the environment for future generations." Do you see it coming? The older lady said, "Yes, you're right. Our generation did not have the green thing back then." Then she went on to explain, "Back then, we returned milk bottles, soda bottles, and beer bottles to the store. The store sent them back to the plant to be washed and sterilized and refilled so it could use the same bottles over and over. So they really were recycled. But we didn't have the green thing back in our day. Grocery stores bagged our groceries in brown paper bags that we reused for numerous things. Most memorable besides the household garbage bags was the use of the brown paper bags as book covers for our school books. This was to ensure that public property, the books provided to us by the school, were not defaced by our scribblings. Then we were able to personalize our books on the brown paper bags. But too bad we didn't have the green thing back then. We walked upstairs because we didn't have an escalator in every store and office building. We walked to the grocery store and didn't climb into a 300 horsepower machine every time we had to go two blocks. But you're right. We didn't have the green thing back in our day. Back then, we washed the baby's diapers because we didn't have the throwaway kind. We dried clothes on a line, not in an energy gobbling machine burning up 220 volts. Wind and solar power really did dry our clothes back in our early days. Kids got hand-me-down clothes from their brothers and sisters, not always brand new clothing. But the young lady was right. We didn't have the green thing back then. Back then, we had one TV or radio in the house, not a TV in every room, and not a screen the size of the state of Montana. In the kitchen, we blended and stirred by hand because we didn't have electric machines to do everything for us. When we packaged a fragile item to send in the mail, we used wadded up old newspaper to cushion it, not styrofoam or plastic bubble wrap. Back then, we didn't fire up an engine and burn gasoline just to mow the lawn. We used a push mower that ran on human power. We exercised by working, so we didn't need to go to a health club and run on a treadmill that operates on electricity. But you know, you're right. We didn't have the green thing back then. We drank from a fountain when we were thirsty instead of using a cup or a plastic bottle every time we wanted to drink water. We refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying a new pen. And we replaced the razor blade in a razor instead of throwing away the whole thing because the blade got dull. But we didn't have the green thing. Back then, people took the streetcar or bus, and kids rode their bikes to school or walked instead of turning their moms into a 24-hour taxi service and the family's 45,000 SUV or van, which cost more than half the streets together on the block. We had one electrical outlet in a room, not an entire bank of sockets to give power to a dozen appliances. And we didn't need a computerized gadget to receive a signal beam from a satellite 23,000 miles out in space in order to find the nearest burger joint. But isn't it sad that the current generation laments how wasteful we old folks were just because we didn't have the green thing back then? Take that, Greta. Shame on me. All right. Somebody said, yes, I'm a senior citizen. I'm the life of the party, even if it lasts till 8 p.m. I can open a childproof cap with a hammer. I'm very good at telling stories over and over and over and over. I'm aware that other people's grandchildren are not nearly as cute as mine. I'm sure that everything I can't find is in a secure place, somewhere. I'm wrinkled, saggy, lumpy, and that's just my left leg. I'm beginning to realize that growing old is not for wimps. And a top 10 list. You know you're growing old when your kids try to count the candles on the birthday cake, but they're driven back by the heat. Number 9, your Social Security number has only 2 digits. Number 8, you're 38 around the chest, 44 around the stomach, 100 around the golf course, and a pain around the house. 7, you realize that whatever Mother Nature gave you, Father Time is taking away. 6, you're at that difficult age, too old to work and too poor to retire. Number 5, you read the obituary section of the newspaper first, and you notice how many of those listed are younger than you. You ever done that? I used to, but first of all, I stopped taking the newspaper, and secondly, I got too discouraged. You see 20 names in the obituaries, and 12 of them are younger than you are. And that says something there. Number 4, you've gone through 3 stages of hair: parted, unparted, and departed. Number 3, you know you're getting old when you stop buying green bananas. Number 2, you're getting old when everybody you meet reminds me of somebody that you used to know. Number 1, you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Remember, aging is mandatory, but misery is optional. Okay, I guess it's time to get down to the sermon now. I think we have established that we're all getting old, that we need to learn how to do it gracefully. In Psalm 62, David gives us a 7-step program for trusting God as we age. And whether we are 8 or whether we are 80, if we are breathing, we are aging. So this applies to every one of us. Firstly, he says, wait. He says, wait quietly before God. Verse 1, I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from him. Spend time every day in silence before God. Have you ever realized how many times when we pray, it's like a grocery list? Okay, God, I need this and this and this and this. Thank you, bye. That's not what prayer is. We need to learn to spend time in silence before God. This is the same Hebrew term that's used in Leviticus chapter 10 when it says, and Aaron was silent. The older we get, the more difficult it is to get in the habit of spending time with God. We need to wait silently before God without complaining when things don't go the way we think they should. We need to let God do his work. Verse 5b says, my hope is in him. Number 2, hold on to those things that are eternal. Verses 2 through 6, he alone is my rock, my salvation, the fortress, I'll never be shaken. So many enemies against one person, all of them trying to kill me. He goes on from there. When things are changing, and I don't need to tell you, things are changing all around us. Things that we could always count on back then, we can't now. At the risk of getting myself in trouble, I read the other day, it said, back in our day, we had Wonder Woman. Today, we wonder if it is a woman. Shame on me. Probably shouldn't have said that, but it's out there for the whole world to hear now. So, things are changing all around us. David said, my hope is in him. Number 3, don't allow people, things, life to shake your faith. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge where no enemy can reach me. We've all gone through times when we've lost someone or something very dear to us. In those times, we notice our faith start to tremble. Why did God do this to me? Why has God abandoned me? Even Jesus hanging on the cross said, quoted from Psalms, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We worry about our kids, along with all the other reasons, because our kids don't seem to worry about us. We find our faith becomes like an old shed tottering in the wind. Number 4, trust God always. Verse 8a, oh my people, trust in him at all times. Learn to trust God in every issue. As we age, some issues are more difficult than those we faced when we were younger. Plus, we don't have the strength and the solitude and the fortitude and the patience to endure them like we used to. We need to learn to trust God regardless. You remember we talked about PTLA, used to be on TV. Praise the Lord anyhow. Praise the Lord. PTL, praise the Lord. Today it ought to be more of a PTLA situation. Praise the Lord anyhow. There are a lot of things that we may not want to praise God for, but we can praise God in spite of. Pour out your heart to God. Verse 8b, pour out your heart to him, for God is my refuge. We see Hannah back in the Old Testament as she poured out her heart to God there in the tabernacle. We see Hezekiah as he spread out that letter of threatening to him, threatening him harm. He spread it out in the temple. We need to be purposeful and passionate in our prayer. Number 6, don't allow the presence or lack of money or stuff to ruin your life. Starting with verse 9 of our text today, from the greatest to the lowest, you're nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they're lighter than a puff of air. And don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. So often we think about money and aging. We say, well, yeah, when you get older, you don't have enough money. But David said, if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. I ain't going to make no political comments, okay? But their trust should be in the living God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need and always be ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of real life. The city of Ephesus was a very wealthy city, and probably a lot of people in the churches of Ephesus had a lot of money. But Paul told Timothy to teach the people that having money, having resources, also carries responsibility with it. Number 7, as long as you live, work for God's kingdom. Verse 12, surely you judge all people according to what they've done. The poet said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and to my mind would not depart. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and God's holy will in my heart to cleave. Only one life, a few brief years, each life with its burden, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing me pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What David was saying toward the end of Psalm 62 is that we should not ease up on our working for God just because we're getting older. God's work does not stop when we retire. As long as we have breath, there's something that we can continue doing for the kingdom of God. I normally don't tell a whole lot of stories about previous churches I've pastored at, but this one was over 50 years ago and was over 700 miles away, so I think I may be safe. No names. But one Sunday morning during the service, we received half a dozen brand new members into the church. There were two young couples and a couple young people. And we had a habit, a tradition in that church, that at the end of the service, the new members would stand across the front and the congregation would come forward and meet them and greet them and say some words of encouragement to them. I was standing down there and I heard one of our older members, bless his heart. This was up north and I didn't have bless his heart then, so it really helps now. But anyway, I was standing there and I heard him say to the young couple, boy, it's good to see you young people joining the church, so now us older members can sit back and take it easy. "Don't you know I had some material for my sermon the next Sunday?" We should believe that our salvation is from God. By grace, we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. We don't do good works to be saved, but we do do good works because we are saved. I don't know about your Bible, but mine says faith without works is dead. We should allow God to help each one of us to age gracefully as we continue to build God's kingdom together until eternity. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would speak to each heart. Remind us, Lord, that we're all aging. Some of us are way ahead of others, but we're all headed in the same direction. We have no guarantee how many more days or months or years we'll have, but may we use each one of them to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand with me as we turn to number 364 in your hymnal? You're familiar with it. The words are also on the screen. Because he lives, even though I'm getting aged and decrepit, I can face tomorrow. Sing it out now.
Oh,
as a family of God, may you leave this place feeling God's love and grace in every moment, every step you take. May you go out into this wild and crazy world ready to share that love and grace of God with others and change your world one person, one day at a time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.